Production. Recorded live.
Okay, great. We are recorded live and welcome. Good afternoon, friends and listeners. This is Marilyn Mall from the Urban Homemaker welcoming you to the first of what I hope will be many live Urban Homemaker live radio broadcasts using some new, very awesome internet technology that I have no idea how it works. I'm going to be your hostess today and interviewing our guest. But first of all, I do want people to know, because this is my first Urban Homemaker live radio, the purpose of our calls is to educate, inspire, inform, entertain men and women of all ages, even your children, on a wide variety of topics of interest to homemakers and homesteaders. My hope is that the live radio broadcast technology is going to also help develop a unique online community of homemakers by providing information and a social outlet. If you haven't joined in the chat, please do. If you're not hearing anything, be sure to refresh your page and click the Live Now button. I hope also, listeners, that you will be brave to share some of your thoughts and ideas with your friends during the presentation and your questions at the end of the interview. Don't post your questions until the end of the interview or I'll miss them, I'm sure of that. Okay, so I also wanted to let you know that there will be a summer schedule that I will be publishing very soon. I am busily working behind the scenes trying to line up a complete lineup of guests with dates and times, and I will be publishing that through my blog, emails, and of course this radio broadcast page. Be sure to check back frequently for the schedule. Some of the topics that we are going to be covering this summer will be organic gardening, growing and harvesting and using your herbs, homesteading skills, canning, gardening, or I already said gardening, dehydrating, freezing, basically preserving the bounty of your garden, or anything that comes through your local farmer's market. And today I want to not spend a whole lot of time talking about Urban Homemaker Live, because my guest is ready and waiting and a very busy working mom who's put together an awesome course called How to Cook Real Foods. My guest's name is Jenny McGruther. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And coincidentally, she's a virtual neighbor to me. Virtual in that she's an internet neighbor, I guess you might say, and a neighbor over the hill, as we say here in Colorado, over a mountain pass in beautiful Crested Butte, Colorado, which I think is better known as a destination ski resort or a summer resort than a farming mecca or a place for a farmer's market. But that is one of the many hats Jenny wears. She is the manager of a local farmer's market, a working mom, and she has been blogging at Nourished Kitchen, her blog, about real food since 2007. I think her passion is to teach, encourage, and inspire busy cooks everywhere to cook real food seasonally, sustainably, and on a budget. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So first today, we're going to get to know Jenny a little bit and how she incorporates traditional eating into her routine. And we're going to talk about how she can incorporate these Weston A. Price traditional eating principles into our busy schedules, what some of her little tricks and techniques and tips are. And we do hope to address the gluten-free, dairy-free cooking concerns of many listeners. And I, of course, want to touch on what some of the topics you can hope to learn about during the 12-week cooking class. And lastly, most importantly, we're going to have a coupon code at the end of the call for 20% off if you decide to go ahead and enroll in the class by May 31st. As you know, if you've been reading my newsletters, the class will start June 1, less than a week away, next Tuesday. But you don't have to be there live. You don't have to be there at a specific time. You will have lifetime access to the material. Now, yesterday I did go ahead and post her bonus lesson at my blog, and it's on nuts and seeds, and it's terrific. I loved it because it's very visual. You can watch, you will see some video footage, and that link is also just above the chat here if you want to click on that and download some of the material and watch that later. So anyway, before I take up all of our time gabbing away, which most of you who know me know I'm not a big talker, I want to welcome you again, Jenny, and welcome to Urban Homemaker Live.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have a good conversation.
Well, and I'm excited to meet a neighbor over the phone, and I am sure that somehow we're going to have to get together and meet face-to-face this summer when we can get out and enjoy the beautiful Colorado mountains. I know I forgot to mention Crested Butte is also known as the wildflower capital of Colorado, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That draws a lot of tourism. Okay, so Jenny, let's go ahead and get to know you a little bit. Tell us just a little bit about yourself and your family, maybe where you grew up, how you met your husband, your child, whatever you're willing to share with us, and how you learned about nourishing traditions.
Okay. I was a military brat, so when I grew up, during my formative years, we spent that time traveling all over the world with my father's work. We lived briefly in Okinawa and New Mexico and Texas and New York and all over the place. And we eventually settled in Colorado, and that's where I've been ever since. I met my husband at a store. I was working at a shoe store, and ironically, the shoe store was called Head Over Heels, and that's certainly what happened to us. And we were married 5 years ago, or 5.5 years ago, and we have a son who is 4, and he is just the light of our lives. He's a precious little boy, and we love him so much.
And a bundle of energy if he's a boy, right?
My goodness, he's got so much energy. I grew up in a family of girls, so that level of energy was kind of foreign to me as a mom.
Well, I grew up in a house full, I just have to tell you this, I grew up in a house full of girls, and my husband grew up in a house full of boys, and he used to say, the greatest tragedy of my life was not having any brothers. Sorry, I had to add that. And my son was quite a challenge and shock for me, too, so I understand completely. Okay, so anyway, tell us, how did you find out about Nourishing Traditions and Sally Fallon and Weston A. Price and so on?
It was sort of by chance, and what a lucky chance it was for me. I had a friend who had turned me on to the Mothering.com message board, and it was through that message board that I participated in a book swap. You know, I had a series of cookbooks I wanted to get rid of. Somebody else had a series of cookbooks they wanted to get rid of, and we swapped about. Nourishing Traditions was one of the books that landed in my lap. And I've got to tell you this. When I read it, I was a vegetarian, fully coming off of a vegan diet. So the information in Nourishing Traditions was pretty revolutionary for me at that time. I mean, my goodness, raw milk and animal fat is good for you. But it really changed my perception of food. I read it, and all of a sudden, all these things started making sense. Number one is that, in the U.S., we tend to have a mentality that if you enjoy it, it must be bad. So, for example, butter is so good, but it must be bad. I can't have too much, or whatever. And through Nourishing Traditions, I really learned that there was another side to things. For example, one of my objections to meat eating as a vegetarian was confinement operations. And at that time, I really didn't understand that there was a whole world of alternatives that were better for the environment, better for my body, and Nourishing Traditions really helped change the way I thought about food. And I read the book cover to cover, and I read it again, and I really started to change my perspective on how food can nourish my body. It brings pleasure.
I just have to build on that for a second. I mean, I would think a vegan or a vegetarian would initially be offended by that book. So maybe you were at a place, are you saying that you were looking for something and you were teachable at the moment?
I would agree with that. I think initially, I tend to be pretty open-minded about food and about other things. And I'm always in a position where I'm willing to learn. But I would agree that a lot of what comes out of Weston A. Price Foundation may offend vegetarians, and that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to be offended, and it's okay to offend. But,
How about we say challenge?
There we
it's
go.
It's okay to challenge.
That's much, much better. But, you know, the point is that we always need to be in a position to learn. And fortunately for me, I was in that position when, you know, Nourishing Traditions landed on my lap, and it really changed the way I thought about food. And I remember the first time I as a recovering vegetarian, I fixed, you know, meat for lunch. And it was with trepidation that I first took those first few bites, and I felt good. I felt really good. And all of a sudden, my body was getting the nutrition and the nutrients that it deserved. It was getting full, healthy fats. It was getting high-quality animal protein. My hair was thicker and glossier. My nails didn't split anymore. My skin looked better. I felt better. So it really, the proof is, you know, in the pudding, not to use a cliche, but I felt better. I looked better. And most importantly, I certainly was healthier after Nourishing Traditions. But that's a big book.
It's a huge book.
I mean, there's almost 800 recipes in it. And so I started Nourish Kitchen, I would say, probably about a year or so after I found Nourishing Traditions as a way to sort of muddle my way through this new way of eating, or ironically, this old way of eating. And okay. It was my way of really kind of learning how to manage the journey.
So you're saying you set up your blog as partly as a challenge in sharing your journey and learning and moving forward. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Oh, that's correct.
Awesome. Yes.
Wow. You were very ambitious. So was there anything in particular in the book, though, that clicked that said, okay, I'm going to go for it?
I think what was so beautiful about that book is that she had well-sourced information. So it wasn't just...
She had what-sourced information?
Well-sourced information.
Oh,
so,
correct.
You know, if you look in the sidebars of Nourishing Traditions, you can see references to studies or to medical journals or to articles covering the issues surrounding food. And that really helped me to change my mind. It's packed with information, and then she provides you ways to start incorporating things into your diet, and that can be a very monumental task for somebody who may be transitioning from a standard American diet or who never learned how to cook. But it was the information that really helped.
It made it credible to you. It made the book credible.
Exactly. It made it credible. And then I followed upon Nourishing Traditions with Nutrition and Physical Degeneration and Real Food by Nita Plank, so that it wasn't just information from a single source. And beyond that, I'm a person who always has to read up even more. So beyond that, I went to the medical journals myself to read up on saturated fats and to read up on animal proteins and to read up on pasture raising versus confinement operations. So I could investigate primary sources. And that's really when my food transformation took hold, is because it wasn't just coming from Nourishing Traditions or the Weston A. Price Foundation. If you actually look at the medical journals, you can find that the information is very well sourced.
Documented.
It's very well documented, and it's very supportive of traditional foods, fermentation, healthy fats, and even souring bread or souring dough for bread.
Well, I commend you for doing the research. I am not a researcher, that is for sure. So, but, I mean, that does make it more credible, and that makes you more credible, and, of course, your class is more credible because you have done the footwork. Now, what I'm curious about is which came first, Nourishing Traditions or the Farmer's Market?
They were kind of a sort of simultaneous thing, actually, for us, which is interesting. Our market started in 2006, so we're going into our fourth year, and that was about the same time that I found Nourishing Traditions. I think I found Nourishing Traditions in the winter, and the Farmer's Market, of course, began in the summer.
Oh, okay.
So they've got about 6 months leg up.
Okay.
But that also was helpful in my making the transition, because I could talk face-to-face to my ranchers about their grass-based operations. We visit all, you know, at our market, we have the luxury of visiting every single farmer and every single rancher that comes to market so that we know that the foods are coming from the stated place, you know, how those chickens are being raised, and that's important for us.
Awesome. Well, now let's talk a little bit more about your class, because that is the purpose of our call. And so tell us, why did you develop the class, the How to Cook Real Food cooking class?
Well, I teach cooking classes locally. Mostly the local cooking classes focus on food preservation. And that's in conjunction with our farmers market. We want to teach people how to buy in bulk and then eat it all throughout the winter. And when I mentioned this on my site, I had a lot of interest from readers who wanted to see a cooking class that they could access. Not everybody can come to Crested Butte, you know.
Uh-huh.
So this was in many ways by reader demand. They started asking about it last autumn. And I started looking into creating the syllabus and things like that. Then in February, I did 28 Days of Real Food, which challenged participants to ditch their boxes and ditch their bottles and ditch their bags of processed junk for a month and learn how to cook real food. You know, integrate.
Oh, my.
Yes.
You must really challenge some people.
It was a really interesting. That actually caught the attention of CNN and the Globe and Mail out of Canada and some other big publications who documented the journey that a lot of the participants went on. And it was the combination of the reader demand coupled with the success of those 28 days that I chose to develop this online cooking class, because while the 28-day challenge certainly helped a lot of readers, and I think we ended up having about 1,400 people participate, maybe a little bit more, well, it certainly helped to introduce people to the value of good, whole, traditional foods. It was really quick and really fast. So a lot of people were still left wondering, well, now how do I integrate this? So that's where this cooking class was born. Out of my readers needed to know more information about cooking, and that's something that I just can't do in blog posts alone. We need the multimedia interaction. We need the online forum. We need the video tutorial so that you can literally see
it. Right.
Exactly. How do you eat bread?
Okay,
how
now,
do you soak grains?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, I just want anybody who's just joined us or who missed the point to know that if they're curious about the 28-day challenge, I'm sure they could read up about that at your website, nourishedkitchen.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And anybody who joined and doesn't know, I am talking with Jenny McGruther of Nourished Kitchen and teacher of How to Cook Real Food Multimedia Cooking Class starting June 1. We'll be talking more about that. Now, you mentioned somewhere there about during the 28-day challenge you developed a syllabus. So we certainly want to know what is in that syllabus. What can we expect to learn if we participate in the class?
Okay. It's going to be a fantastic course, and it really is about mastering these fundamental techniques and then learning how to develop your own recipes based on the techniques and what's available to you locally. So it's very, very flexible. But in the first week, the first lesson is really about sourcing food. How do you get the most from your farmer's market? How do you get the best deals? Where do you find grass-fed beef? If you can only shop at a chain grocery store, what are your best options? So the first week, we're really going to cover real food, cleaning up our pantries, and learning how to source high-quality ingredients, no matter if that means they're coming out of your backyard or from a chain grocer.
Okay.
And then we really get into the fun stuff.
Oh.
And we're going
to I thought Nuts and Seeds was really fun. That's the free bonus lesson that's on my webpage for anybody who's on the listening internet-wise, and it'll go out in my newsletter. But go ahead and give us a quick overview of the rest of the 12 lessons.
Okay, so we are going to cover the first segment. We're going to cover grain.
Okay,
you know, whole grain. It can bring a lot of value to the diet, not just in terms of nutrition, but also in terms of variety. So but they need to be properly prepared in order for our bodies to digest them best, and also to better absorb their minerals. So the first week we're going to cover how to soak grain, so the basic premises behind soaking grain, and then the readers will learn how to prepare a soaked grain porridge, a soaked grain pilaf, so if you want to have rice pilaf with your supper, you have an option for that, as well as a soaked whole grain breakfast scone. Now the key on this is that I'll provide you with the basic techniques and the basic recipe, but the individual readers can decide what they're going to use. So somebody might use spelt, while another person who's gluten-free might choose quinoa or rice in the pilaf or in the porridge, and so on. We'll also cover lots of gluten-free grains and their value as well as suited cereals. Then we move on to sourdough bread, which is pretty exciting.
Okay, that'll be week three, the third lesson, sourdough?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So we'll cover sourdough breads, how to tend and care for a sourdough starter, how to bake sourdough bread. Now, I choose to do the no-knead method because it's minimal effort, and you can really produce a beautiful whole grain bread. Any additions you might want to add into your sourdough, as well as what to do with the extra sourdough when you're not making bread. For example, sourdough pancakes. Sourdough crackers and things like that are going to be covered.
Okay, now I'm already getting a little nervous if I'm a busy mom, but okay, let's hear the rest. Let's hear the rest of this.
We'll also cover, I personally, you know, believe that vegetables can be the heart of a nourishing diet if they're prepared properly is the catch. I guess that goes with anything in a really, truly nourishing diet. But vegetables, we're going to cover salad dressings. Now, Sally Fallon Morrell indicates that giving up refined processed salad dressings that you buy on regular grocery store shelves is one of the most important things you can do in your transition to real food. So we're going to cover salad dressings from a basic vinaigrette to an enriched dressing. Now, by enriched dressing, I mean something like a buttermilk ranch dressing or a creamy Italian dressing. And one of the best things you can do with that in those is to add the yolk of an egg. It offers a great source of biotin, and it presents this beautiful creamy dressing. So we're going to move on beyond salad dressings and how you can adjust those to your needs, to how to braise vegetables, how to roast vegetables to improve their flavor and maximize the nutritive value by using fats on our vegetables. We'll also cover naturally fermented pickles. We can make
yummy.
Yes. So things like sauerkraut and kimchi and cortito have, you know, played a role in the diets of traditional peoples all across the world. You know, first it was an issue of practicality. How do you keep the harvest fresh well into winter? But it also offers a dual purpose of nourishing the body. You know, it increases B vitamin C and offers loads of probiotics, and that's really good for the gut. We're also going to cover regular sour pickles, and you'll learn the two methods of producing fermented vegetables. Method one is called wild fermentation. I'm sure people are familiar with Sandor Katz's book. And that makes use of the bacteria that are naturally present in the air we breathe and on our skin and on the vegetables that we eat. And the second method is a starter method where you use, fresh whey or a culture to help speed up the process of fermentation. And students will learn which method to use with which vegetables and why it's important. And then we're going to do meats. You know, we all love and understand the value of grass-fed and pasture-raised meats, but they can be a little tough and they can be pretty expensive if you eat steaks. So we're going to cover how to choose inexpensive cuts of healthy meats, make them last longer, and how to really cook them, you know, through roasting and slow cooking so that they become fall apart tender. And I think that's a pretty big step.
Oh, yummy.
And we cover, we also cover things like yogurt and yogurt cheese. You know, for the dairy-free, we'll also be covering nourishing alternatives, which include coconut milk yogurt and coconut milk kefir. And we will also cover giving up sodas and soft drinks.
Our sacred cows. Okay.
Right.
Well, you know what? People are going to love kombucha. They're going to love
so
it.
Too.
Yeah.
It's got a great flavor. It's effervescent. And you know what the beauty about water kefir and kombucha is that they're low in sugar because much of the sugar is metabolized by those beneficial bacteria, and they cost pennies to make, literally.
Oh, I know. I had
it's so inexpensive.
I had some friends over the other day, and they were talking about a 16-ounce bottle of kombucha in the store is $3 to $4. And I mean, I don't buy it in the store, and I was, like, shocked because it's only pennies to make, a big gallon.
That's right.
Okay, and let's just wrap up the other three real quick because we want to open it up here to questions here shortly and give out
sure.
that coupon code. So we have three more. So, I mean, I have so much to learn. I can't wait. I have not mastered all of these skills. I just believe in the principles, and I haven't even cleaned out my whole pantry yet, even though I don't have a kitchen. So, okay, okay,
so,
10, 11, 12.
One of the most important lessons I think we're going to cover here is how to give up refined sweeteners in favor of more natural alternatives. So a lot of people, when they're first entering into this diet, you know, they still want to make cookies and pies and things like that. And while that doesn't necessarily feature large in our home, it can be a real challenge learning how to substitute rapadura for white sugar, or where do you use molasses in a recipe, or how much honey is equal to how much sugar. So we're going to cover how to replace more natural alternatives, how to replace refined ingredients with more natural alternatives. And this is really important, we're going to cover sweetener-free desserts. So that means that you can have nourishing, delicious, tender, and sweet desserts made without any artificial sweeteners and made without any sweeteners at all. And there's, you know, key ways to do that is to really make sure that you've got a good in with your local foods movement. You buy fruits at the height of their season. So we're going to cover some beautiful desserts you can make at home that are really healthy.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like you are an expert on all the alternatives. I just know about this, and I know a few things, but I'm definitely not mastered. Okay, keep going. I want to know the best.
Lastly, we are, and throughout these lessons, we're going to talk about how you integrate them into your kitchen so that it's not so overwhelming. But lastly, the last lesson, we're really going to take a nice look at everything that we've learned and learn how to incorporate that into entertaining friends and family, into helping convert our, you know, sugar-loving children and husbands, and learning, you know, what really is the anatomy of a nourishing dinner. What should you serve? If you're pressed for time, what's a good one-pot meal? Things like that. So we're going to cover putting it all together in the final lesson. And, you know, those who graduate can have a big party where they show off all their new techniques.
How fun. Okay, well, I don't think that's going to happen with the finishing of my remodel and have a party and be through all the classes, but maybe I can do both. Okay, well, I certainly am impressed with the scope of what you are doing and the thoroughness of it and the fact that you are addressing allergy issues and that in each lesson we will have choices to learn how to incorporate the ingredients that we have or to adapt our existing recipes to new techniques. I mean, to me this sounds very practical. How about sharing maybe a quick giveaway tip on a strategy or a tip for a busy working mom that, you know, without giving away the class, something that is very hands-on practical. Could you do that?
Okay. Absolutely. Well, you know, as Marilyn mentioned before, and we talked about, I'm a very busy mom. I work full-time, and then my husband and I manage our farmer's market. We're deeply involved in our community through charity work, and, you know, we're raising a four-year-old, and that in and of itself takes a lot of energy. So one of the things, I've got a few go-to meals, and one of the best things that somebody can do is develop a few go-to meals. Ours, we like to call hamburger salads. You take fresh greens.
Okay, now a go-to meal is a quick and easy, in-your-pocket kind of cupboard meal.
Exactly. So your go-to meal is something that you can throw together using what you have on hand, you know, in under 20 minutes. It doesn't take any lengthy preparation. It's just something that when you're busy, and we all are busy, no matter if you're if you work full-time or if you are the primary caregiver for your child, or if you do charity work, we're all crazy busy, and these meals can really help. What I like to do is take fresh greens, mesclun lettuce, or whatever you have on hand, and make that the base of the meal. Add browned, grass-fed ground beef, and, you know, top that top your salad with that. Add some pickles for some probiotics. And, you know, whatever vegetables you like, onions, tomatoes. And then that in and of itself is very healthy, very nourishing. It's rich in vitamins from all the raw vegetables, and it's rich in good quality animal protein and animal fat. And you can throw it together in under 20 minutes.
Okay. That is a great tip, and I'm looking forward to a recipe or two along those lines. All right, now, one of the things that you mentioned in the promo material is that this is based on doing a real foods diet on a budget. Now, I'm just going to put in a little bit of my own philosophy here, and that is when people are making changes in their diet that it's, I think personally, it's wise to take one step at a time. Now, it is, 12 lessons, not necessarily that need to be mastered in 12 weeks, correct?
Correct.
And I think people need to give themselves the grace, number one, to however much time it takes to master a new technique is how long it takes. And I also know that people they're seeing dollar signs right now, and they're saying, okay, this does not sound like a budget-friendly deal. Talk to us about that.
Well, when you look at it, it is each individual course is one that teaches you how to master a new technique, one that will really nourish your family. And that's a technique that you can take throughout the rest of your life. And if you have trouble initially or maybe struggle with learning how to ferment vegetables or soak grains, you can always go back to that lesson as many times as you need to. You can download the materials as many times as you need to because you have lifetime access. And that lifetime education and technique is really worth a lot of value to a family as they learn to prepare and eat a more nourishing diet. Moreover, each lesson provides techniques and tips on how you can make your foods more budget-friendly. For example, when we did the nuts and seeds, I taught participants how to make a dried fruit and nut bar, very similar to the Lara bars you might see on grocery store shelves. And in my community, those dried fruit and nut bars cost about $1.75 a piece, while the whole recipe, if you make it in your own kitchen and it only takes about 5 minutes, costs about $1.75.
Wow.
So you really can save money by cooking from scratch and making nourishing foods in your own
home. I really do think that is the key. I think a lot of times we think, oh, organic meat, oh, organic this, or oh, this bag of nuts is very expensive or something like that. But when you compare, say, pound for pound, your own loaf of bread versus a loaf of bread in the store, you can get quite a few loaves of bread out of a couple pounds of grain.
That's
compared to
right.
A loaf of bread. And really, I think it's amazing that you can have, you can buy a snack food box of crackers, which, okay, maybe I will have some crackers around my home that I didn't make, but they are not cheap. They are not at all cheap. Whereas grain, it probably has, 50 cents or a dollar's worth of grain at the most, or flour in it. Anyway, it's really amazing that once you start cooking from scratch that you really can start saving. So, and I also think people need to give themselves the grace that if their budget doesn't have, can't go to, say, a pastured, real organic chicken, I think they need to give themselves the grace. Now, you may disagree with me to buy the chicken that fits in their budget and do with it what they can. And because I think there's a lot of grace out there. That's just Marilyn Mall, urban homemaker, her philosophy.
I fully agree. People, it's too easy to say this particular aspect is too hard or pasture-raised chicken is too expensive, so I'm just going to throw everything else out, go on my own way. What you really need to do is take one step at a time. What works for your family?
Yes.
What does your budget allow? Because there are changes that you can make no matter how small or how high your budget is, no matter how little time or no matter how much time you have. And it's really the small changes that we integrate slowly into our lives that make the difference because eventually they add up.
And that's called process. And that's called process. And I think we all need to have the grace to be in process. And I think that is just an awesome way to wrap up talking about your class. Now, let's go ahead and give out a coupon code and then take some questions if we have some audience questions, okay? So now, if you are interested in signing up for Jenny's class, the link is on the radio page that you're listening to where the chat is just above where it says Nourished Kitchen. If you listen live or recorded broadcast with Jenny from Nourished Kitchen, if you click on Nourished Kitchen, it'll take you to the sign-up page for the class, and you can get a 20% discount by doing
Simply entering in Urban Home, all caps, into the coupon code box. That will also get you not only 20% off the course, but also 10 free recipe cards from Nourished Kitchen.
Are these coming by mail or downloadable?
The recipe cards will come by mail.
What a generous thing. Oh, my goodness, I want that. I love recipe cards. Okay. I mean, in this day, this internet day and age of everything, you know, being downloadable, to get something in the mail, a real tangible product for free, is over and above value added. That's awesome. Thank you.
One of my biggest complaints about the internet is that it's so virtual, and we really need to get off our computers sometimes and connect with people. So, yes, by entering in the coupon code URBANHOME at checkout, you get 20% off plus 10 free recipe cards.
And you get the bonus meal, and you get the 12 lessons, and you get to listen to them for live, and all of the class handout materials. And by the way, I thought, again, I really do want to plug this bonus lesson on nuts and seeds. I only watched part of it, and it's so totally great. I think it needs to go into notebook. We need to set up notebooks. Are you recommending that, Jenny? With dividers, so we have all these recipes at our fingertips, and it's very hands-on, very practical. I know you're going to love it. It's better than anything I could have ever dreamed of. Truthfully, I really feel that way because that was just my first little introduction. I haven't even seen the materials yet. I'm just looking forward to the class because I have a lot to learn too. Okay, so let's. I'm getting carried away yet jabbering, and I know I want to be very courteous of everybody's time today, but if we have some audience questions for Jenny of topics I have not covered, you're going to need to post them into the Urban Homemaker Live chat feature, and I'm going to be really brave because we don't have a ton of people on the phone. I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody, and you're going to just have to say number one, number two, whatever, and we'll let you go that way with questions. So anybody who's on the phone, I'm going to unmute you here in a minute. There may be a little downtime here for a second, and we'll take questions by numbers. Okay, so my first question I see here is, my son has multiple food sensitivities. I need a good substitute for onions.
For onions? Mm-hmm. Can he eat any other allium, or is it all alliums? For example, can he eat shallots or leeks or garlic?
Okay, and this is anonymous 0478 on the chat, and I hope she's listening and she can answer that question either on the chat or for herself and know the answer that there are other. So what you're saying is there other substitutes for onions would be garlic, leeks?
Depending on his sensitivity and level of sensitivity, leeks make a great substitute for onions. Shallots are a good substitute for onion. Garlic, of course, anything in that family is a good substitute. I'm curious as to whether or not he is simply sensitive to onions, or is it everything in the allium family?
Well, she says here that the leeks are out. Garlic is okay. She says, have you tried radishes? This is another question. Okay, so she's just tried garlic. So I guess she's just going to have to try some other products in the allium family and see what works for her.
And, you know, if worse comes to worse, there is an Indian spice that can be substituted for onion, because onion and garlic isn't often used in Ayurvedic cooking.
Oh.
And it is called, I wish I could pronounce this correctly without making a fool of myself. I think it's asafoetida, asafoetida. And you can find that in health food stores. And that is not a member of the allium family. And
okay, so maybe some herbs and spices might.
Yes.
see something. Okay. Now, I have tried to unmute the chat, but it doesn't, or unmute the listeners, but it doesn't appear to me that is working from the screen. So I apologize to those who are on the phone lines. You could go ahead and try emailing me at Marilyn@urbanhomemaker.com, and I'll try to monitor that as well as the chat. Okay, our next question was, have you tried radishes? Or I guess this is a suggestion to the lady with the onion problem. Have you tried radishes? She uses them in her pan-fried cottage potatoes, and they were excellent. And I think the gal who was posting about the Allium family said she's a little tired of garlic, so hopefully that spice you mentioned she caught will work. Okay, it says, will there be many breakfast ideas included? I seem to need most help with this.
Yes, in each individual lesson, you can use the basic recipes that we provide to, you know, adjust them to lunch or dinner or breakfast, but we specifically cover porridge and scones in the soaked grain section. We also will cover sourdough pancakes in the sourdough section. When we cover vegetables, we'll address my favorite thing is I personally prefer to have vegetables at every meal, including breakfast, and we'll cover braised greens and other braised vegetables that you can use for breakfast. In terms of actual breakfast that you can do, I recommend things like fried pastured eggs over greens. You can also do herbed biscuits, buttermilk biscuits with herbs, and maybe some sausage or eggs.
Oh, okay. There's going to be many applications of the basic information that will work for breakfast.
Yes.
Okay. Could you go ahead and just spell that herb again for somebody who didn't catch it?
I believe it's A-S-T-O-F-O-E-D-I-D-A. It's I don't use it often, so I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
If you look that up, or if you look up an Ayurvedic substitute for onion, you'll find that.
Okay. All right. Here's another question. Which aspect of our diet, maybe two or three, should we begin our transformation? I guess what she's asking is, what do you consider the top priority? I mean, there's 12 lessons here. Are they in the order of priority?
There's 12 lessons, and you can use them whenever, whatever works for you. I think that it's very difficult to say what is the best thing for everybody to start off with, because
I agree.
We all come from different histories, different backgrounds, and have different needs.
Beautiful.
But suffice to say, I think primarily the top things that we can do, especially beginning, are choosing healthy fats over refined fats, things like butter, tallow, coconut oil, olive oil, in favor of things like soybean oil and vegetable oil. I think that is one of the most important things you can do. Couple that with giving up refined sugars. That's very, very important, because sugars really rob your body of health. They rob your body of B vitamins. So those are two primary things that I think everybody, no matter where you're coming from in your diet, can really use.
Okay. I love your answer that there's – I've always told people to start with grains. I guess that's because that's where I started. But, you know, somebody else might be great in the veggie department, the fermented veggies or beverages. And of course, there may be some of the easiest changes to make, in my opinion. That might be a good place to start. So, yeah, so you can tailor it to what works for you. I love that. And I love the fact that everything will be very flexible and you tailor it to you and your family and your budget. I just think
that's
it's
exactly
awesome.
Right.
And I also love the fact that you're not dictating here in the, a sense of legalism. You know,
right.
This is not legalistic, folks. This is real life, and I love that, too. It's flexible. And you can tailor it to your own family. Now, here's another question. This poster says that she was under the impression that the material was only available for 6 weeks after the course was over, but you did say it's lifetime. Is that,
correct? That's correct. It is lifetime access. Initially, we were dealing with some technical glitches, and we overcame them, and we decided, you know, once you've paid for the course, you should have access to it whenever you need to, whether that's, you know, today or 6 weeks down the road, or a year from now. So
okay.
It is lifetime access.
Okay. What is the length of each class?
Each class will cover probably two to three videos, about 10 to 15 minutes long each. So that's about, you know, between 20 and max 45 minutes of video time. And you can look at those videos anytime you need to, whether you watch one for 10 minutes and then go put your kids down for a nap and come back and watch another one. Coupled that with the print materials, which are probably going to be between about 15 and 20 pages each week. So that is the time allotment. And because this is self-paced, everybody gets to determine the amount of time they put into the course. And that's really the key.
Well, I love that. So if there's a family emergency and the baby is screaming and or the children run in with skinned knees, you can come back to it. You haven't missed it. You have lifetime access to it. And it's very
that's
flexible.
Exactly right.
Way. Okay. A question is, can we download the lesson and listen to it later?
Yes. You can download the videos, or you should be able to download the videos. You should be able to download
the handout.
The course materials, the handout, the course. For the hearing impaired, I will be providing transcripts of the videos, so you can watch the videos and read the transcript. And the key is that you can come back to this at any time. You can watch it as many times as you need to. You can download it as many times as you need to, and you can access it when you need to access it.
Okay, so now I'm having trouble getting my chat to scroll so I can see the whole question. Is there a deadline when the materials will be available to listen to? I think it's really, is there a deadline for registering, correct? Is that
There's
right?
a deadline for registering because it's going to work better for everybody to participate with one another. There's also an online forum that's associated with the site. So, you know, say you take the soaked rain lesson, which is, I think, week two, and you develop this beautiful pilaf, and you just can't wait to share your quinoa and feta cheese pilaf with everybody. There's a forum so that I want everybody in the class to be able to grow and learn together. And so there is a deadline for registration. The deadline is May 31st. That's Memorial Day. Classes begin June 1st.
Okay. So what you're saying is if we keep on task, you know, on a weekly basis, we will have the added benefit of an online discussion if we would like to avail of ourselves.
If you would like that, it is available for an online discussion. And here's the key. Even if you're not keeping pace week to week, say that you just can't get around to making kombucha for another 3 weeks, you can always go back and look at that online forum and view the discussion surrounding the lesson. So even if you're not doing each individual lesson on the day it comes out, there's no need to.
Okay.
You make it happen when you need to. You still have access to the forum, and you can view the entire discussion and, you know, participate that way.
Okay, now there's another question here. I feel like we might have addressed this, but let's go ahead and clarify. It says, do you believe that natural living, healthy eating can become an idol? And when do we know that it's become an idol for us? And I think we already talked about the fact that everybody needs to incorporate healthy living as it works for them, when it works for them, with their budget. So I don't think it necessarily is an idol unless we make it that way. And
I would agree. That's a tough question, and I've seen that come up before. And the real answer is, are you giving enough space to the other things in your life? Are you giving enough time to your true priorities? Nourishing our bodies is really an aspect that can interweave itself into many, many different areas. It's part of family life. It's part of spiritual life. It's part of your love for the earth and for God and your family. However, each individual needs to determine whether or not it's taking up too much time away from the other aspects. And the truth is that if you do it right, and if you do it within the boundaries that you've set for yourself, it is complementary to your life, and it is not in any way an idol. But that is all up to the individual.
Well, right. I mean, anything can become an idol in our life and crowd
yes.
out the most important things. And I think everybody needs to be cognizant of that. And when they see that creeping into their lives, then they have the opportunity to make a correction.
That's
okay. The next question is, will there be any ideas on adapting recipes? And I think I thought we addressed that also, but let's clarify that every lesson will have basically a worksheet where you learn to adapt recipes, your own recipes, to the principles being taught, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. If you ever come into a recipe that you hit a snag on, send me an email and I'll be happy to help you learn to adapt it.
Okay, and of course there's the online forms where others could maybe help out so you're not burdened. This poster also says, I love to cook with my crock pot, but I don't want to use Campbell's soup in every recipe. Now, I personally think a crock pot can cook things to death, although very convenient. So can you address, crock pot here?
I'm a working mom, and with the farmer's market especially, we're heavy users of our crock pot, especially in the summertime when we're up at 5:30 and don't get home until like 7 o'clock at night after the market. So we actually talk about slow cooking. You can use the regular slow cooker. You can use a clay baker, whatever you like. But what I find is that you really don't need those classic Campbell's soup recipes or anything like that. I grew up on Campbell's soup and Velveeta cheese. But what the truth is all you really need is a good cut of meat, a little bit of broth, wine, if you take wine, or even water, some good spices, good vegetables. You cover it, and you're good to go. So I would definitely ditch the Campbell's soup, and we're going to talk about slow cooking in this course.
Okay, now we have another question. Is the 20% off both the one-time and the payment options?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And somebody did register yesterday and is wondering how they can get a 20%. They can still get the 20% discount. I guess they're going to have to contact me personally.
If they email me, I can adjust it on my end, and I'll be happy to do so.
Okay, so if you registered yesterday and missed the 20% discount, they need to email you at? Can you give them
Jenny
over the phone?
Jenny@nourishedkitchen.com.
Okay, Jenny@nourishedkitchen.com. So if you missed that 20% and you had already pre-registered, then go ahead and email Jenny@nourishedkitchen.com. Okay. All right. There's somebody. The ladies have been furiously researching the internet on the spice that you named, and they've already given a Wikipedia link, and they're saying that it's a strong-smelling resin found mostly in powdered form. And use very, very small amounts for the flavor. So it's not like an onion, but that could be fried, but it's going to give the flavor.
That's
okay,
correct.
And there's another question here. This is more for me, I think. It says, when will the contest winner be announced? And you mentioned that I posted in my email yesterday that we'll be having a contest, and I've actually had a phenomenal number of participants, over 300 so far, and so I think I'm going to have more than one winner, but it will be announced on Monday, is that right? We'll be giving away the contest.
Whichever day you choose, so Monday's fine.
Okay, so I will announce the contest winner. Well, it probably won't be Monday because I intend to have a holiday Monday, but I will announce it on Tuesday and make sure that, the winners, I'm going to definitely have to have more than one winner because of the participation here, but I will make sure it's announced so that it's in plenty of time, and even if it's past June 1st, well, they can still pick up the lesson on Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if somebody wins and they've already paid, will they be refunded? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we're kind of at the end of the questions, the end of our time. I'm going to give one more minute for a specific question regarding the course material rather than the nuts and bolts. If you have additional questions on registration, coupon codes, and so forth, you can email me, Marilyn@urbanhomemaker.com. And again, this is Marilyn Mall from the Urban Homemaker, wrapping up an interview with Jenny McGrether from Nourished Kitchen and author and instructor of How to Cook Real Foods. And it's an online multimedia cooking class starting Monday, June 1st. You can sign up for the class at at the link from my page here that will take you to the Nourished Kitchen website where you can sign up for the class. There's a few questions left here that I let's see. I don't know if I can quite read them. Oh, okay. So this lady says she wants to be honest and upright here about using the materials and sharing them with her daughter-in-law. What do you say about that?
Can you repeat that question again?
This lady says, I want to be honest and upfront about using your materials and know if I can share my course with my daughter-in-law.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not a problem. In fact, I've seen a lot of friends who are choosing to do the course together use that method. Mothers and daughters, sisters, husbands and wives, you need to, absolutely, no problem, make the course work for you.
Okay, and then the final question, and we're going to go ahead and close shortly here. Do you need to purchase anything special for the class?
The class is designed to really work with what you should have available. However, if you're going to be participating in the fermented foods aspects of the class, I would encourage you to pick up a kombucha mother, water kefir grains, a yogurt starter. You can also use plain store-bought yogurt for that, and a sourdough starter. If you want to get more involved, there's also flip-top bottles and things like that. Mason jars work fine. And if you go to Cultures for Health, they do have a Nourish Kitchen package where they package all the fermentation supplies together at a 15% discount.
Oh, we need that info. Okay, I love to know. Oh, it's called what?
CulturesForHealth.com.
Cultures for Health. So you can get a package of all your cultures in one package deal.
Exactly.
With a 15% discount. Do they have a 15. Coupon code for that?
Nope, it's already packaged at 15%.
Oh, because it's packaged, it's a 15% discount.
Yes.
Okay,
so
awesome.
You go to, culture, and I'll provide you with that link, Marilyn. So
okay, and I can post that in my follow-up newsletters.
That's
okay,
correct.
Well, I tend to be like, okay, let's keep on time, and if there are any other pressing questions, I don't see them posted right now. And I want to give you the opportunity, Jenny, to state any closing comments. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. You've done a marvelous job. I'm totally impressed and excited. I have a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to some recipes. But do you have any closing comments?
I just want to say that, real food can be such a pleasure, and it's beautiful the way that good food can nourish our bodies and our souls. And this class is really designed to provide families with the fundamental techniques that they need to maximize nutrition and value, and couple that with the flexibility that it offers, because it's really more than recipes and cooking techniques. It's about learning how to integrate these aspects of traditional foods into your diet, how to make local food the center of your meal, and that's a really good thing for everybody.
And I'm going to close the call by saying there's at least five or six thanks, many thanks. Thank you, ladies. It was wonderful. So I want to thank you also, Jenny, from the bottom of my heart for spending your time out of your busy schedule. I know this is a busy week for you to clarify and describe in detail your class. It was really a wonderful time for me and for our listeners, I'm sure. And I just want to say thanks.
My pleasure. This has been really fun.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to doing it again, maybe when all these classes are over and we can do something follow-up, okay?
That sounds great.
All right. You have a great rest of your day, and thank you all listeners for joining. If you have other comments and questions, you can always email me at marilyn@urbanhomemaker.com or jenny@nourishedkitchen.com. So thanks for joining us, and until next time, check back here for our new schedule. We look forward to meeting you again in this format with Urban Homemaker Live. So long. Have a great day.
Bye.